So, Shai, I'm going to go on mute here while you speak, so.
Okay, yeah.
And the tapes are rolling.
Hi, my name is Tushar Fadale, and I'll be talking about Blade Center Configuration Manager and Server Configuration Manager today. My series is X-Series. This is part of the IBM Virtualization Engine Deep Dive Education Session. There may be several other presentations in the area of interest. This presentation is entitled Blade Center Configuration Manager and Server Configuration Manager. And I am Tushar Fadale, the presenter. There will be a Q&A call in October, so please send your questions to maddie@us.ibm.com by October 1st. During the presentation, please announce which chart number you are showing and talking about. Okay. I think I'm going to start the presentation. The first slide is says IBM Director 5.1 Configuration Manager Editor. The person on that chart, name of the person on the chat is James Chen. So in the future, if you have questions about Configuration Manager Editor, you can contact him. This whole presentation is broken down into about four sections with four different people in charge, and I'm covering for all of them today in this 20-minute presentation. Blade Center Configuration Manager and Server Configuration Manager has various sections. I'm starting with the editor portion of it. The second slide talks about the origin of this Configuration Manager. It's a replacement for the deployment wizard which existed in Director 4X versions. We have two applications showing up in Director 5.1. One is called the Blade Center Configuration Manager and the other is called the Server Configuration Manager. Both these tasks are pretty much identical, except for the difference that they cater to different devices to be configured. So the Blade Configuration Manager configures devices in Blade Center chassis, the management module, the switches, and the blades, versus Server Configuration Manager focuses on configuration of standalone servers and associated devices. The next chart talks about the various features of this configuration manager. It's based on profiles, and we have definitions for all the terms in the chart. And there are various individual components within a profile. Each component configures a specific hardware and a specific function associated with that hardware. The editor basically collects all these components together and creates a profile. And there are various ways you could apply this configuration. One is to drag and drop this profile against the targeted hardware. You could also use CLI mechanisms to apply this profile against targeted hardware. There is also an important feature about these profiles is called a detect and deploy, by which you could configure these profiles to wake up at different times. And when I say different times, it means if a new hardware gets inserted, these profiles can automatically be woken up and applied, or a new hardware is discovered. So these are the broad features of the configuration manager. The next chart, the next couple of charts would then define the various terms used in this presentation. So slide number 4 talks about profile. Slide number 5 talks about where this profile sits as a director task. Slide 6 talks about components. What does a component mean in a configuration manager? Slide 7 talks about various ways you could launch the configuration manager. You could double-click the task. You could drag and drop the task against the targeted object, or you could right-click an existing profile and edit it. The same thing applies to a server configuration manager. The next slide talks about where it shows in the console and how you can launch it. Once you launch the editor, the first window comes is called a quick start window. This gives the user the opportunity to either create a profile from scratch or open an existing profile. Or you can also import an XML file which contains this profile. The fact that you can import an XML file, the editor has the option of saving these profiles in XML structures, which can then be imported. Once you select one of these options, the create new profile option, the second window shows up. Which chassis do you want to configure? Again, this is not a specific chassis they're talking about, but they're talking about a specific model of the chassis. So you get the option of choosing either a Blade Center enterprise-level chassis or a Blade Center telco-level chassis. You're asked for a profile name, which is set to be unique. If a profile with that name exists, the application will warn you of that. The next chart will then give you the various components available for you to choose. This is all the current components available in the Configuration Manager. You could choose all of them or a few of them based on what sort of a profile you want to define. The next chart then shows where the components show up. On the left tree, you would see all the components you have chosen. When a user clicks individual components, the right panel will be populated with a panel for information for users to provide. The next chart, slide 13, will show you that. We have selected Cisco System Intelligence Gigabit Ethernet Switch component, and you notice that on the right pane is filled with login information, create new accounts, or the configuration information which you can provide. Each of these plugins have been explained later in the presentation, so I'm not going to touch on each of these plugins right now, but we'll get back to it in the presentation. The editor function here, slide 14, shows you the various options available under the file menu. Under the action menu on slide 15, you also have options to set detect and deploy policies at a chassis level or at a component level. That has been described on slide 16 and 17. There are various other options available at a component function level, which has been shown on slide 18, 19. Slide 20 shows you what sort of an XML file is produced when you export this profile. In the file option, you have the option to actually either create a profile, which happens to be a director task, or you can export the profile as an XML and save it on a local drive or a floppy drive. So slide 20 shows you a generic XML file which gets created when you export the profile. Now moving to the next presentation about the CLI support of this particular tool, Configuration Manager. Slide 22 gives you the various commands available. Slide 23 talks about the usage of these commands. And then the next few slides, 24, 25, talks about how to use those. The third presentation is Configuration Manager Components. This is the presentation where we talk about individual components. There are currently on slide 27 shown 8 components, IP address pool, switch modules, management modules, RDM-related deployment, service processor-related configuration. The next few slides, starting on page 28, jumps into individual components and talk about their features. So you would notice a chart with bullet items talking about the various features of that particular component. For example, on page slide 28, you would see IP pool and what IP pool does. Slide 29 shows you the GUI representation of what a user would see when you click on the IP pool component. Page 30 is switch modules, and I'm going to skip these pages because all that information is captured in the slides. 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37, 38, 39, 40, 41, 42, 43. So those were all the slides which talked about individual components. If you have any questions, please let us know. But most of the information about individual components has been captured in the slides. I'm on the fourth presentation called the Configuration Manager Profile Execution Events and Troubleshooting. Starting at page 45, this particular set of charts talk about how profiles get applied, how profiles execution, what sort of results to expect when you execute a profile, various aspects of detect and deploy, event handling. There are events generated by Configuration Manager when certain profiles get executed, failed, success. So all those event handlings have been captured in this presentation. And the last topic is troubleshooting. Apply on slide 46, we talk about how profiles get applied. There's a text explaining the steps a user could take to create a profile and apply a profile. There's a graphic representation of when you actually take a profile and apply it against a targeted chassis. Again, this application could be against one chassis or multiple chassis. Because of director features, we have group functionality. Slide 48 shows the various execution results when a profile is successfully applied, whether it's partially applied, various failures. That has been captured on this slide. When you apply a profile in an active mode, when you execute it right away, there is logging on the console itself. Slide 49 shows what that console looks like and what sort of logging information is available when you execute this profile against a targeted object. Slide 50 talks about detect and deploy. Detect and deploy is a slightly a tricky concept to understand. Up till now, all the profiles which contains the configuration for the hardware, you can either drag and drop it on a targeted one or many devices and it gets executed, or you can schedule it using director scheduler for it to apply. Detect and deploy allows for these profiles to be enabled for application at various different times when you're not there. There are, broadly speaking, two categories by which you could enable that. The first category is called apply these profiles to a targeted either chassis or a standalone server when a new chassis gets discovered or a new standalone server gets discovered. Director has its own mechanism of discovering these devices, either to auto-discovery or through manual addition, but any of these profiles can be set enabled early on to apply to any of these new hardware which gets discovered by Director. So that's at a target object level. And those are the first two items, blaze center chassis and server chassis, detect and deploy profiles. When you talk about blade center chassis itself, there is a second level of detect and deploy which is possible due to the fact that most of the hardware devices in blade center chassis are hot pluggable, which means that you can pull and push in new blades into empty slots. You can do the same thing with switches. And we have captured that in this detect and deploy scenario. What happens is a user can enable only switch configuration on an existing chassis and have it waiting, which means currently the chassis might have empty switch slots, but you can set up a configuration which, when a new switch gets inserted in the chassis, can be woken up automatically by director and apply the configuration. The same thing applies to blade, and that's why the bottom two categories on slide 50, blades and switches, where the detect and deploy is triggered based on insertion of new hardware in the blade center environment. And so those are the broad two categories of detect and deploy. Event handling, that's slide 51, outlines the various events the configuration manager itself will be generating. There's only a single event type, so if you want to use the event action plan, in Director, you could use that. These events will be published in the Event Action Plan. There are various severities and causes for these events, which have been outlined on slide 51. The next slide shows actually what that event looks like. So when a particular event gets triggered against a particular hardware, it gets associated with that hardware, and you can go to the event logs, which is part of the director function, to actually go and see what that event is. And slide 52 shows you what that event looks like. I think I'm on the last slide, slide 53, which talks about troubleshooting. I'm just going to read the slide. Make sure that the director server is alert receiver for the Blade Center chassis and the server chassis. What this means is that there are cases when you discover a particular hardware that that particular director server might not be configured to receive alerts from that hardware. So a lot of these features, detect deploy features of Configuration Manager, rely on receiving alerts from hardware. And if we don't receive these alerts, some of these features will not work. So make sure that the director server has been configured to receive alerts. Make sure that we do not have any Blade Center hardware which has zero UUIDs that causes discovery of these hardware pieces in director. And also make sure that you do not have things waiting, profiles which have detect and deploy enabled. Sometimes you might have forgotten that, and that needs to users need to keep an eye on that. We have a logging mechanism as part of the Configuration Manager. You can enable the debugging for Configuration Manager by modifying the Config Manager Quick Extension file. And you can send us those log files if there's any problems to any either myself or any of my team members, and we can always help with the debugging. The same thing applies to line 1 and line 2. Once they get familiar with these logs, they can look at these logs if they receive these logs from the customers to debug things. I think that was my last slide. Again, if there are any questions about Configuration Manager, please contact me. My name is Tushar Fadale, or any of the team members mentioned in the slides. After this presentation, I have Rajat Jain from my department talking about X-Series. I'm going to stop now.
The next person could just begin. Fadel.
Rajat, could you start?
All right. Hello, my name is Rajat Jain, and this is part of the IBM Virtualization Engine Deep Dive Education Series. There may be several other presentations in this area of interest. This presentation that I'm going to be talking about is miscellaneous items for X-Series, and I am Rajat Jain, the presenter. There will be a Q&A call in early October, so please send your questions to maddie@us.ibm.com by October 1st. That's maddie@us.ibm.com. I'm going to go ahead and get started with this presentation now. The topic is miscellaneous items, X-Series. I'm just going to switch to the second slide now. That gives you a basic overview of the four miscellaneous items that are being added for X-Series systems in this release. The first one is a reduced agent footprint. The second one is removal of certain functions that existed in previous releases. The third one is a new function that's been added for auto-renaming of chassis and platform entities. And the fourth is talk about how some of the changes are that are being made for scalable systems in this release. I'm going to start with the first item here about the reduced agent footprint. I'm switching to slide 3 here in the presentation now. Basically, what this is it's part of on the managed endpoint, or the agent, as we call an IBM director, the SIM provider agents were Java-based, and in this release, all of those providers were migrated to native C++ Pegasus-based implementations, and this basically had a great reduction in the footprint on the agent end. the actual footprint reduction is going to be covered in a different presentation. I believe that's being presented by Julie Bielski. You'll be able to see how much of a Tier 0 versus Tier 1 reduction we have as compared to the previous releases. As far as the function that was provided by the agent SIM provider, none of that is unchanged. So from a customer point of view, all they've got the same function as before, but just a reduced agent footprint. I'm going to go ahead and switch to slide number 4 in here. So one of the things that's happened in this release is that certain GUIs that existed in the product in earlier releases to provide configuration for Blade Center and standalone servers, and these were referred to as Management Processor Assistant and Blade Center Assistant GUIs. These GUIs are no longer available in the current release of the product. Instead, there's as part of the initiative by marketing and the requirements that we have from the customers, several replacement tools, including the configuration manager, which Tushar touched on a few minutes ago, has been provided. In addition to the configuration manager capabilities for Blade Center and standalone servers, we've also provided launch points from the console to allow the launch of a web browser or a command line interface to the managed endpoint. Please note that all the other functions like alerting, discovery, inventory, power management, system identification light on the X-Series systems, which is also called the blue light, none of that function has been affected. And that's pretty much what I wanted to touch on for this item. I'm just going to quickly switch to slide 5 here. This gives you an overview of how the Blade Center management tasks and the Server Configuration Manager tasks appear in the taskbar. Again, I won't go into more detail because Tushar has already touched on those. I'm going to switch to slide 6 now. This shows you the additional tasks that we were talking about that have been provided in this release. So if you click on a Blade Center chassis in this case, you can see that you have the ability to launch the configuration manager, the network device manager, which is, the graphical interface to configure the switches in that chassis. You have the ability to launch a command line interface from director to talk and operate and perform different operations on this chassis. And then last but not the least, you have the ability to launch a web browser as well to the remote endpoint. So I'm going to switch to slide 7. It pretty much shows that you have the same options to launch the command line interface and a web interface against a physical platform, which is typically what we have in a standalone X-Series system. I'm going to switch to slide 8 now. This talks about applying the auto-renaming function during discovery. So this capability did exist in the previous releases as well. What I mean by capability, I'm actually referring to the auto-renaming function. The only difference in this release is that the same function was not applicable during an auto discovery or newly discovered objects. So now whatever preferences that the user specify for their auto renaming of objects in the console or on the server, the same preferences get applied to manual operations as well as discovery operations. And slides 9 and 10 show you how these preferences panel look like in the console. I'm going to switch to slide 11 now. This talks a little bit about the support that we have for scalable systems in this release. Specifically, I'm referring to scalable multi-node systems like the X460 or X445. A product called the Scalable Systems Manager used to be available as an add-on to the product. However, that's no longer supported. So some of the base function from that product has been integrated into the current release. And the function that's been integrated has the basic capabilities for discovering these scalable systems, performing associations, which includes the notion of what a complex is versus which partitions are part of this complex and which nodes constitute this partition. So it's, you can see the whole scalable system hierarchy representation in the console. You can also perform power operations like power control. You can also receive hardware alerts from these scalable systems. So the main function that that is not going to be available is the ability to configure the scalable systems and the complex and the partitions on the fly from the IBM Director product itself. But, you know, it can be used to manage an existing scalable system. The next presentation that I'm going to switch to is called Improved Hardware Alerting for X-Series. And I'm going to start with slide 2 in this presentation. It gives you a basic overview of the 4 new functions that we've added. The first one is provide alerts for problems that may have occurred during a post or a system startup. The second one is to provide flow numbers in alerts. The third one is to send a SIM director alert when an automatic server restart takes place. And the fourth one is to differentiate between normal versus recovery alerts. So I'm going to spend a few minutes just talking about some of these. The first one is to provide alerts for problems that may have occurred during post. I'm going to switch to slide 3 here. This basically tells you that when a system is coming up, if there's any problem with the CPUs or the physical memory in the system, the monitoring will be performed, and any time the system configuration has been degraded, an alert will be sent to the user. Slide 6 has shows you exactly how this alert is going to show up in the console. Next, I'm going to switch to slide number 7. This talks about the ability to have the foo part number in alerts for X-Series systems. So if there's a certain systems for which we can get this information, and that is listed here on this slide, for example, any power supply failures that we have on systems with RSA or IPMI BMCs, any DASD backplane alerts that we have, again, for the RSA and IPMI systems, or if you have any memory failure alerts, which may be configuration being downgraded, or if there's like a predictive failure that may have occurred for the memory. So if for some of these alerts, what you will see is the foo part number will be automatically added to the director or SIM alert that you see on the console. Slide 8 and slide 9 show you some screenshots of how these alerts might show up on the screen. I'm going to switch to slide 10 now. This talks about if you have an X-Series system and there's like a catastrophic failure, or if there's an OS hang and the system basically shuts down itself, if this shutdown what we have is this capability for automatic server restart. So anytime this condition occurs, most of the X-Series systems, they automatically restart themselves. And if we detect that such a restart was due to an automatic server restart due to one of these failures, we will capture that and report that as an alert in the console. And now I'm just going to switch to slide 11. This basically is getting rid of redundant normal alerts. So in the previous releases, what we used to have is every time the remote endpoint or the agent was restarted, the status for all of the hardware entities or the environmental monitors in the system was reported every time to the user. So what you would get is a flurry or a flood of normal events. And one of the main changes in this release is that we will be detecting whether this is a true recovery versus a normal. And without going into detail here, in a nutshell, you will only be notified of the failure or recovery one time. And that's pretty much the end of this presentation. If you have any questions, go ahead and send any questions to maddie@us.ibm.com or feel free to even send me an email. Thanks.
Are you ready for me to stop the recording?
Yes, please.
Okay, yes, great. Please.